हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 Chandra Radha Krishna Chandra Radhe Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Lakshmi Narasimha Jaya Ananta Devi Lakshmi Narasimha Jaya Ananta Devi Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Nitai Gaura Hari bol.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Shtotra Satahis Divine Grace Abhacharana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Chandra Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Narasimha Ananta Dev Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say, books are the basis, preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. And everything ultimately boils down to us practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness. This is what Srila Prabhupada has founded this ISKCON society for practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness. There is no other purpose than these two. And this spirit of preaching is not something that Srila Prabhupada just started on his own. He has inherited this in the disciplic succession. His spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was completely absorbed in this same mode. This mode was also not started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It has been coming down from the great saintly persons from time immemorial. It is the nature of a saintly person to feel compassion upon the conditioned living entities of this world. So, a saint, a genuine saint, a real devotee of Lord Krishna is not so much worried about his own particular situation. Rather, he is more concerned about the welfare of the people at large. Therefore, such pure devotees are called paradukha-dukhi, which means that... Oh, today's Hindi class or English class? What is the class today? English, right? Sorry, I think one of the classes is Hindi. I forgot which one. Sunday. Today's... Sorry. So today's English class. Okay. Yes, so what was I saying? Where was I? Yes, paradukha dukhi. So, it is the nature of a saintly person that he feels sorrow when he sees the sorrow of others. Similarly, when he feels others experiencing the joy of Krishna consciousness, then he also feels great joy. Para sukha sukhi. Para means other people. Whereas the materialistic mentality is the opposite. Para dukha sukhi. When we see others' sorrow, we feel very happy. Good, this person has failed. This person's business has not succeeded. This person has such and such problem. Or similarly, one could be para dukha sukhi or para sukha dukhi. If somebody has succeeded nicely, then we think, oh, that's not good. So, from great authorities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand what should be a devotee's mentality. What does it mean to be a devotee? Is being a devotee simply a matter of an external dress? Or having a shikha, or wearing tilak, or wearing a kanti mala, or just carrying the bead bag in the hand and shaking it a little bit and moving the fingers? What is really at the essence of being a devotee? And this is a spirit that is best exemplified in the life and attitude of Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee. Prahlad Maharaj is best known for his pure devotion to Lord Krishna, to Lord Narsingadev, and his constant remembrance of the Lord, even in all situations, however adverse they may be. Even when Prahlad Maharaj was tortured terribly by his own father, he never even once forgot Krishna. Never even once did he blame Krishna. Rather, he completely depended on Krishna with total fearlessness, understanding that if Krishna wished his body to be destroyed, it would be destroyed. And if Krishna wished to protect him, then nobody could kill him. As Srila Prabhupada used to say, quoting the Acharyas, Rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. So if Krishna wants to protect someone, who can kill him? And if Krishna wants to kill someone, then who can protect him? We see these examples all through the history in the scriptures. So Prahlad Maharaj, because he was such a pure devotee of the Lord, and he was personally experiencing so much happiness within himself in the pure devotion for Lord Krishna, but he was sorrowful about one thing, and he was thinking about the conditioned souls in this world who have forgotten Krishna and are therefore suffering. As far as Prahlad himself was concerned, he had no difficulty, he had no problem. Because one who is constantly hearing and chanting about the Lord will always be in a blissful state. He has said in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam also that there is never any distress for him. Naivod vijay paraduratyaya vaitaranyastvad viryagayana mahamrita magna chittaha shoche tato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. This is a very famous verse that is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, in which he says, my dear Lord Narasimhadev, na udvije, I am not at all disturbed. Paraduratyaya vaitaranyas, this Vaitarani river, or this material world with this ocean of material existence, is actually a very fearful place. It is terrible. It is full of suffering, full of difficulties for the conditioned living entities here. But Prahlad Maharaj says, na udvije, I am not at all concerned or disturbed by this terrible material world. Why? Because my consciousness, magna chittaha, is absorbed in what? Tvad virya gayana mahamrita. In the wonderful nectar of the narrations of your pastimes, your messages, and so on. Because my consciousness is totally absorbed in these things, therefore I am blissful. I have no problem at all. I have only one problem. Shoche, I am lamenting for those people who are vimukha chetasa. Shoche tato vimukha chetasa, who have turned their backs to you and who are therefore in suffering because they are not inclined to serve your lotus feet. And why are they not inclined to serve you? Indriyartha. They want to serve their own senses. They want to give themselves pleasure. Maya sukhaya. And in pursuit of this illusory happiness, which is maya sukha, they assume a lot of unnecessary responsibilities in this world. Bharam udvahato vimudhan. People work harder and harder and harder in this world just to make life easier and easier and easier. Yes? We take so many leisure devices to increase our leisure time, only to find we have lesser and lesser time. We have cars so we can save time. So when we go from one place to the other place, we can go in lesser time. We have telephones so we can communicate very quickly without having to personally go there. We have so much of technology to help us save time. But we see that actually there is less and less and less time. So what do? We are in a situation where we are getting more and more forgetful. Whenever I travel to different places in India, mostly the big cities, we find the people have no time because they are forced to struggle, they are forced to work hard, morning to night, 10 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours at work. Recently, I was in Australia where I found a completely different situation where people are so much absorbed in sense gratification in a different way that they hardly work 3.5 days in a week. they love their weekends. Their weekends are their life and soul. And the whole week they are looking forward to that weekend. When will Saturday morning come? When will it be Friday evening? So Saturday and Sunday they go out to the beach, they do surfing, they go whatever else they do for. They go somewhere and try to enjoy themselves. They are a very physical people. They like to do things with their body, play sports, do so many things. And by the time it is Sunday evening, they are already beginning to get depressed. I am talking about the whole country, not just one or two people. And Monday morning, when they come to work, till 12 o'clock or lunchtime, they can't do any meetings or anything because everyone is so depressed and irritable because they have to begin their week. So half the day is wasted there because you can't do any productive work. Then half of Monday, then there is Tuesday, there is Wednesday. And by Thursday, they're already looking forward to Friday, which is one day before the weekend. So they've already started slowing down the tempo. And in Friday, they are completely in holiday mood. They do some nominal work. And Friday evening is the time when the entire office gets together to drink beer. That is the time for bonding. They get together and meet with each other and so get to know each other better. So basically, they work for 3.5 days in a week. And rest of the time, and one thing that was good there I noticed is that shops close by 5 o'clock. Nothing is open after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at the latest. But the only unfortunate part is what do they do in that spare time? This would have been an ideal situation for India. Had everyone worked for 4 days a week, if it was sufficient, and then 3 days you have completely for Krishna consciousness. Now they are in an ideal situation to do this. But those 3 days that they get spare, leisure, they use for all kinds of sense gratification. So then it is of no use. But in India, we work 7 days a week or 6 days a week, morning to night, which is also under some compulsion because people think that they must earn more, they must make more money. So the pressure is put on everyone in the office. And then the business has to be competitive, so you have to earn so much more to stay afloat in the business. So many things. So our life has become so complicated. We are unnecessarily taking more responsibilities. More and more time. Bharam udvahato vimudhan. So Prahlad Maharaj is rather unsparing in his criticism of the conditioned souls of this world who are unnecessarily taking so many false responsibilities. As Prabhupada says, to accumulate unnecessary necessities. It is not a necessity, but we think it is a necessity. And therefore they are vimudhan, means they are very foolish, unnecessarily working so hard and not giving any time to their Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I have no problems for myself, I am blissful. But my only sorrow is for these people who are running after illusory happiness, which is sense gratification. And therefore they unnecessarily take on more responsibilities, work harder and harder in vain. So this is the mentality of a devotee who personally himself or herself is happy in Krishna consciousness but wants to share that happiness with others, wants to ensure that in this world everyone gets the happiness of serving Krishna. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj speaks this another important and famous verse. So kindly repeat after me.
Prayena deva munayah svavimukti kama.
Prayena deva munayah svavimukti kama.
मौनं चरन्ति विजनेन परार्थनिष्ठाः नैतान् विहाय कृपणान् विमुमुक्ष एको नान्यं त्वदस्य शरणं भ्रमतो नुपश्ये प्रायेण देव मुनयः स्वविमुक्तिकामा मौनं चरन्ति विजनेन परार्थनिष्ठाः नैतान् विहाय कृपणान् विमुमुक्ष एको नान्यं त्वदस्य शरणं भ्रमतो नुपश्ये
One from the men's side, one from the lady's side. Please chant this verse.
प्रायेण देव मुनयस्व विमुक्तिकामा मौनं चरन्ति विजनेन परार्थनिष्ठाः नैतान् विहाय कृपणान् विमुमुक्ष एको नान्यं त्वदस्य शरणं भ्रमतो नुपश्ये प्रायेण देव मुनयः स्वविमुक्तिकामा मौनं चरन्ति विजनेन परार्थनिष्ठाः नैतान् विहाय कृपणान् विमुमुक्ष एको नान्यं त्वदस्य शरणं भ्रमतो नुपश्ये
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, mauna vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. So this is Prahlad's prayer to Lord Narasimhadev. What a wonderful prayer. It is in keeping with the earlier verse that I have quoted, where Prahlad is now saying that, yes, it is true that there is no shortage of saints in this world, but mostly these saintly people are concerned with their own salvation. Sva vimukti kama. Kama means desirous of. Sva vimukti. They are just interested in their own salvation. They are not interested in delivering others. Na parartha nishthaha. Para means others. Artha means benefit. Nishtha means the inclination or the faith. So they don't have that inclination to deliver others. They only want salvation for themselves. Prayena munayaha. Mostly, almost always, the saintly people are like this, O Deva, O Lord Narasimhadev. And in pursuance of their own spiritual upliftment or their own salvation, maunam charanti vijane, some of them observe vows of silence, maun vrat. Sometimes they go and wander in solitary places inside the forests and so on. When you go to a place like the Kumbh Mela, then you will see a wide variety of sadhus. How many of you have been to any Kumbh Mela so far? Very few, mostly only the... Very few. Yes, it is an experience, maybe the next time, but it is mostly North India. You don't find a Kumbh Mela in South India. And especially ones in Allahabad, Prayagraj, it is very massive. Prabhupada used to say also, it is the largest gathering of faithful people, or a largest spiritual gathering in the world. You will not find a gathering like this, lakhs of people coming together. And in Prayag, it usually happens in the month of Magh, which is extremely cold. And in bitter, freezing weather, you will find lakhs of people early in the morning taking a dip in the cold, icy cold water. Ladies, children, old people, men, everybody is there. So India truly is a land of piety. Where else will you find people doing this in such numbers? Or even if you go on to do Govardhan Parikrama, for example, on some very special days like Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima, because it is also the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, it is of special interest to the residents of Braj Mandal, because they would revere Sanatana Goswami very greatly. So for them, he was the main guru. So his disappearance day coincides with Guru Purnima. It is celebrated like that. So you will find hundreds of thousands of people from UP, Rajasthan, Delhi, Punjab and so on, neighboring areas, coming there, mostly the surrounding villages. Children, old people, ladies, everyone doing parikrama. And there is hardly any place to even walk on this 24-25 kilometer stretch. You will be stumbling, bumping into people all the time for the entire 24 kilometers, because there is such a huge crowd. Very happily, despite all the inconveniences of walking for 24 kilometers, it takes 6-7 hours, but they do it very happily. So truly we are very fortunate to be in a land which has such a heritage, a rich heritage of spiritual culture and piety. So Kumbh Mela is one such gathering, the biggest gathering of all. It is an experience of a lifetime to be there. Of course, it is better that you are there with devotees so that you do not get misled by all the variety of sadhus who come. And you will find some people, all the type that Prahlad Maharaj is describing, you will find there. There will be many who will be observing vows of silence. I remember we had gone in I think it was 1988, in the Kumbh Mela, that was in Prayag. And the whole camp was abuzz, the whole yatra, at about one sadhu who had observed mauna or silence for about 20 years or something like that, or 25 years, maybe much more also, I don't remember now. And he lived in a tree house. Up on a tree, he had made a little platform of bamboo, and he lived there. And then lakhs of people would come to take his darshan, because he had not spoken for so many decades. Of course, actually speaking, it is quite an achievement. You see, if you ask someone to fast, he or she can fast for one day, even with difficulty, but they will manage. Like, say, for example, Nirjala Ekadashi or Narsingha Chaturdashi or Janmashtami, devotees somehow manage to fast. But if you ask someone to keep quiet and not speak a word for one day, that is going to be really a challenge. I don't think anyone will be able to do that. Of course, we are not after mauna. That is not our aspiration. We don't mind speaking constantly 24 hours if we get an opportunity to glorify Krishna. That is superior to mauna vrat. But rather than speaking nonsense, better to have mauna vrat. The urge to speak is very powerful, extremely powerful. And therefore people in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, one of the gurus of the Avanti Brahman is the young girl who was about to get married, and prospect the parents, the families of the prospective bridegrooms were coming to visit her in the house, in her parents' house. So one time her family members had gone out for some work, and suddenly one family of a prospective bridegroom came to the house. So she was all alone. She didn't know properly how to receive them, what to do. So she made them sit down. And then she went into the kitchen to prepare some foodstuffs, because she understood that we must treat them nicely and give them some nice things to eat. So as she was hurriedly preparing something, the bangles on her hands were clanging together and making sound. So then she thought that these people are coming to see me. If they hear the noise of the bangles on my hands, they will think that we have no servant, that we have to do everything ourselves. So then that will not be good for my marriage prospects. So I should remove some of the bangles. So she removed most of the bangles, and there were two bangles on each. So then the noise reduced, but there was still some noise. Then finally she took off one each and left only one on each hand. Then she happily worked peacefully and then fed them nicely, and they went away. It is not mentioned whether she finally got married or not. But the point is that the Avanti Brahman says, I learned from this, one is better. Two means prajalpa. The moment two people are there, then there will always be some talk or the other. Even if they are two devotees meeting together, there will be some prajalpa, definitely something that need not be spoken will be spoken. This is the nature of the tongue, of the mind, which will force us to speak. Even if it is not necessary to speak, we speak. There is one quote that I liked. It is not by any of our Vaishnava acharyas, but still it is a very wonderful quote. This saint has said, we should preach all day long, and when necessary, we should speak. Yes, did you understand this? I will repeat it. We should preach all day long, and when necessary, we should speak. What does it mean? That preaching is not simply a matter of speaking. Preaching is very largely a matter of our behavior, of our actions, and so on. Speaking also, no doubt, is an important part of preaching, but not everything. Ultimately, if we are preaching so many things with our words, but our actions are not matching with our words, then what is the use of such preaching? It is said, your action speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say. Yes? So someone says, we must be very humble, this is the goal of our life, to be humble, but in that person's life we find that he is not humble. Then his preaching to be humble will not be effective. So in any case, preaching, for the sake of preaching, yes, we may speak. But usually the urge to speak is so powerful that even for us as devotees, we have to be careful that we, in the name of preaching or name of discussing something, we just go on speaking. So holding a maun vrat is some achievement from a material point of view. So that Avanti Brahman, that Avadhuta Brahman, not Avanti Brahman, it's the Avadhuta Brahman actually. He learned that better to be alone, because at least you will not talk uselessly with other people. So this sadhu had observed a Maun Vrat for decades together. And people were wonderstruck because they know, everyone knows it is so difficult to keep quiet, isn't it? And so when somebody is there who has not spoken for 2 decades, people are astonished. They say, we want to see this person, even though it has nothing to do with real spiritual life actually. Just because you have kept quiet for 20 years doesn't make you an advanced spiritualist, even though it is some kind of an achievement by material standards. But the fact that people cannot distinguish between spiritual achievement and material achievements is shown by such examples. Someone can walk on the water, someone can walk on the fire. So people don't have proper conceptions of what is religion. So there are many sadhus. I was recently also on the way back in Malaysia and Singapore, and there was one gentleman who came. He was from a Tamil background, a Tamil-speaking family. Originally, his ancestors moved from here to that region, from South India. And he was saying, he was doing some work of altars. So he had come to one devotee's house to do the altar, some adjustments. And he saw me there and we got talking. And I asked, what is your name? He said, my name is Shiva. And I started speaking a little bit about the purport of the name Shiva. And then he said, very nice, I'm happy to hear. And he said, but actually, I'll tell you my history. He said, I'm a Muslim. And before that, I was a Christian. And before that, I was a Hindu. So I said, very interesting. So please let me hear your story. So he said that I was born and raised in a certain area, and whenever I went to our religious festivals, I saw that all our holy people, they were piercing themselves. I don't know, maybe some such things are done. They pierce themselves with the body all over, stick one pin in, bring it out the other side, or pierce their tongue and bring out some sharp object on the other side of the tongue. Through the tongue they pierce it, they walk on the fire, they walk on hot burning coal with bare feet, and they have so many such activities. They all are holy people, but their behavior outside was so bad. He said, I completely lost faith, and then I started exploring what is real, where is God. And then somehow, because next to my house there was a church, so I started going to the church and I started reading the Bible. And then I became a Christian. And then I saw one day one young Muslim boy was running to the mosque. I wondered, why is he running? What is there? So I started researching. And I found there is something more, so I became a Muslim. So I said, whether you are Hindu, Muslim, Christian, all these are designations. Now you become a devotee of Krishna and love God. Understand that whatever religion you follow, ultimately you have to reach the point of loving God. But you must know who this God is, you must know what he looks like, what is his form, what are his activities, what is his abode. So here it is, here is Krishna. So you love him now, and all your desires will be satisfied. Doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian, doesn't matter these things, you just love Krishna. This is the essence of religion. So the point is that people, they look at people, other people who are doing all these religious activities, rituals, they are supposed to be priestly class of people or representatives of the priestly class. So because their actions are very disturbing sometimes, so the common man loses faith, or the common man is confused. The common man doesn't quite understand who is a real sadhu. So they think someone who walks on the water, or who walks on burning coal, or produces some gold from somewhere, or some ash from the sky, such a person is a very saintly person. Or if someone is having a Maun Vrat. There are also other people who Charanti Vijane, who wander about in holy places, or who wander just alone. One time, I went on a trip with some devotees to some island off the coast of Western India. It was out in the sea. It was a very small island. And there were some other islands out on the sea like this. And there was another island in the distance, which was just jungle, in the middle of the sea. And the person who was running this island here, he explained that nobody lives there. It is a deserted island, and it is called such and such. I forgot the name. But it is named after a particular sadhu who used to live there all alone. All his life, for decades, he lived there alone. He went there, somehow or the other, he reached this island. And his whole life, he just lived on that island. He didn't have clothes. He didn't have food. He didn't have shelter. But he would just live on whatever fruits and berries and leaves, whatever was there. Some streams must have been there. He was drinking some water. And he was living like this. So there are such people who have this kind of sukriti with them, who have some kind of inclination for this kind of austerity and tapasya. And they do this. And it is just their nature. They are driven to perform austerities of this nature. So they are also sadhus. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying there are many, many such prayena munayaha. Most of the munis are of this sort, my dear Lord. Very rare to find a genuine sadhu. A genuine sadhu is one who is a pure devotee of Krishna. Titikshava karunika suhridah sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhubhushanah. So the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, conversation between Kapila Dev and Devahuti. What is a real sadhu? A sadhu is one who is decorated with the qualities of a sadhu. And what are the qualities of a sadhu? These qualities are like the ornaments for a sadhu. Hare Krishna. We will continue the lecture. Can you hear me? Okay. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So generally in this world, people are fond of decorating themselves with good clothes, with ornaments and cosmetics to appear beautiful. But the ornaments that really please Krishna are these Vaishnava qualities. What are these qualities? Titikshava, they are very tolerant. Karunikaha, they are very merciful and kind. Suhridah sarvadehinam, they are equally disposed and friendly to all living entities. They don't make a distinction that this is mine and this person is not mine. He's from my community, so I will be partial to him. And that one is from another caste or another creed or another country, so I will not favor him. He doesn't think like that. He thinks freely for the welfare of everyone. Srila Prabhupada used to sign his letters as your ever well-wisher. That is what a real sadhu is, a real devotee. Ajata Shatru, he is Ajata Shatru. He doesn't have any enemies. His enemy has never been born. He's never inimical towards others. Sadhavah sadhu bhushana. But this conception of a sadhu is not very commonly understood. Mostly the conception of a sadhu is seen from the external behavior. In India, there is a very well-developed sadhu samaj. There are what are called akhadas. For those of you who are familiar, maybe you are not. But it is divided. There is a lot of protocol. There is a lot of formality. There is a lot of things with the sadhu samaj in India. And initially they did not accept ISKCON devotees as sadhus. But of late, recently, they have accepted now. And some of our sannyasis are accepted as mahant in the sadhu samaj. So during the Kumbh Mela, there is a whole protocol of who can go for bathing, in what order. You see, certain akhada, they will go first, then these will go, then next these will go, then these will go. It's very well set routines and traditions are there, which are coming down for many centuries. And some of these sadhus may be Mayavadis, some may be Vaishnavas, some may be Tapasvis, some variety, yogis, babas. There are the famous Naga Babas. They are called Naga Babas because they usually don't wear clothes, but they are very fierce. They smear their bodies with ash, and in the winters they are extremely fond of the fire, because naturally they don't wear clothes, so they have to warm themselves up. And they are also sometimes very violent. They can kill with their spears. And many times in Kumbh Mela there are such clashes, and they kill each other because of some clashes over who will bathe first and who should not bathe first. Despite all this, lakhs and lakhs of people come. Just imagine the greatness of this land. But the situation is changing. So Prahlad is saying, Prayena Deva Munayo Svavimukti Kama Maunam Charanti Vijanena Parathanishtha. So they are mostly concerned with themselves. They don't consider the welfare of others. But I am not like that, my dear Lord. I want to take the others with me. Na etan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko. So I don't want liberation, vimumuksha. I don't want to be a seeker of liberation. Na etan vihaya, leaving behind all these people. Who are these people? Kripanan. Kripanan means those who are miserly by nature. Srila Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavad Gita purports that anyone who does not take any active measures for perfecting his or her life spiritually for self-realization is a miser. So miser doesn't mean simply not spending money. Miser means that you have the greatest wealth of the human body, the human form of life. And if you don't utilize this human form of life for the service of the Lord, for self-realization, then what is the use? We are being miserly. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I am not like those sadhus. Prahlad was a very unusual sadhu for many reasons. Number one, he was a son of a demon. And not an ordinary demon, a big demon. The greatest demon in the whole universe. Number two, he was born as a king. He was not living in the Himalayas. He was surrounded by royal opulences. The third unusual part about him as a sadhu is he was only 5 years old. And still he was speaking such wonderful philosophy. So Prahlad was an unusual sadhu from that point of view. So he's saying, I am also sadhu, but not like them. Because I don't want liberation alone. I want to see that these miserly people who don't want to utilize this precious gift of the human form of life for serving Krishna, that they also come back with me. And therefore, I know nanyam tvadasya sharanam bhramato nupashye, that these people are wandering always in the cycle of birth and death, And without taking shelter of your lotus feet, there is no other way for them. I know this. Na anyam tvad sharanam. Without taking shelter of your lotus feet, my dear Lord, there is no relief from the cycle of birth and death. So this is the mood of a devotee like Prahlad. He even doesn't want liberation. He says, I will stay here and I will try to get as many people who are conditioned in this material world to come back to Godhead with me. Vasudev Datta was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one time he asked, my dear Lord, please grant me this one desire, that all the sinful entities who are here in this material world, in all the planets including hell, let me absorb their sinful activities and let them be delivered and let me go and stay eternally in hell. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken aback to hear such a request. Normally when people go to the Lord, they have so many desires, so many requests. But here was a most unusual request. We do not have the time today to discuss in detail this wonderful conversation, which is explained very nicely by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I will just tell you briefly. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to hear this and to see the attitude or mentality of Vasudev. He said, Vasudev, Krishna will surely fulfill your desire. He will liberate all the living entities in the universe simply because you, who are his pure devotee, want it. And of course, you will not have to go to hell for this. Even though you are willing, but why will Krishna send you to hell? You are a pure devotee. So simply because you desire it, Krishna will fulfill. And then he told him, you are actually directly Prahlad. Because otherwise nobody can have this mood of compassion. This spirit of preaching or this spirit of wanting to uplift the others at the cost of one's own happiness, this is something that is there in Prahlad. Tumi Sakshat Prahlad, Mahaprabhu told him. You are directly Prahlad, I am confident of this. So such are the glories of Prahlad Maharaj and the devotees following in his footsteps like Vasudev Datta. And we also should follow in their footsteps and try to also develop this spirit. If we are concerned for the welfare of other people in Krishna consciousness, then our welfare is automatically taken care of. Many times as I travel and meet devotees in different centers and temples, sometimes devotees come up with a complaint. It is actually more common than we would think. And they say that, well, devotees are not dealing with me nicely. So the answer is very simple. We deal nicely with others, automatically others will deal nicely with us. So the answer is, the solution to all problems begins here, with us. If we simply deal nicely with everyone, then others will deal nicely with us. A little story comes to mind just now. One time there was a king who was going for a walk in his capital city. And suddenly he came across one man who was sitting in a tree, under a tree. And the king told his minister, I feel like killing this man, that giving him the death sentence. I know he has done nothing wrong, but I just feel like that. What is the reason for this? So the minister thought for a moment. He says, I don't know, Your Highness, I can't answer this question, but let me investigate. So they went back. Then after some days, the minister came back. And he said, now I have the answer. So what is the answer? He said the answer is that this man, he was a carpenter and he did not have much of a job. And he was thinking, this king is coming here, and at least if he placed an order with me for making his rath for the religious festival, I could have earned a nice livelihood. This king is coming here, what is he doing for me? So he had so much negative emotion about you that automatically you had this negative emotion for him. But then I understood this point, and then I gave him the order, without taking permission from you, to make a nice chariot. And I told him that the king wants this from you. And that is why the next time that you went there, you felt so affectionate for him. Because when the king had gone next time, he said, oh dear, oh minister, why do I feel so much affection for him now? So then the minister at that time explained this. He said, now that you have taken care of him, now he's thinking, oh, he's such a nice king. So he had all nice vibrations in his mind for you. So automatically you also felt very nice about him. So yes, this is how the human society functions. If we are complaining that others are not looking after us, others are not dealing with us nicely, others are not loving us nicely, then it should begin from us. Solutions to all the problems of the world begin here. Just like charity begins at home, similarly all the solutions to all the problems of life begin here with us. So if we simply develop this mentality that Prahlad Maharaj has, that we become concerned for the welfare of others, automatically our welfare will be taken care of. Everybody else will care for us. We need not worry. Just imagine if everyone in this world had this spirit or this mood. What a wonderful place this world would be. It would be directly Vaikuntha. That is why it is necessary for us to hear the messages, the pastimes, and the life stories of great saints like Prahlad Maharaj. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?